Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I am going to read a portion of Scripture. Before I do that, I want to thank you, Pastor, again, and the congregation for standing with us monthly. You know, in 31 years of doing public school assemblies and speaking to over 7 million students face-to-face, we have never taken one dime from a public school. And when they've sent me a check, I've sent it back to them and told them, you can't pay us to love your students. And it has been a powerful testimony because I've had atheist principals come to me and say, Donnie, we checked with the school board. We know that we didn't pay for you to be here. And I've looked at principals in the eye and I said, Christians are very concerned about the drug problem, the gang problems, the alcohol, the drug abuse in this area. And they have sent us here by their support. It has been amazing to watch the doors open as a result of just the favor of God, because we just say, we're not coming. You can't pay us to love you. And it's such been a testimony over the years. And so every month, this church stands with us. And I mean that, Pastor Mark. Thanks so much for believing in what we're doing. And thank you for being such a part of it. You know, have you ever read when you get a prescription for some of you that don't walk in faith all the time, but you have to once in a while get a prescription, and they have the warning on there. You ever notice the warnings? I mean, you read the warning, and the side effects are worse than whatever you got. I had to get something recently for my throat, and I hadn't even got the medicine out of the bottle, and I started reading the side of one leg's going to be shorter. You're going to vomit. Your lungs are going to swell up. You won't be able to sleep. And you're, what? And I was fascinated. So I started, when I'd go into stores and stuff, I started collecting warnings on different things. And I just want to give you a couple. Warning on a jet ski. Don't use a lit match to check fuel level. This was on, I saw this on a, like a bag of hammers. It says, warning, hammer may be harmful if swallowed. Mom, Ken just swallowed a hammer. You know, they have to actually put stuff on there because someone's tried this. This is on a chainsaw. Warning, do not hold wrong end while in use. I saw this on an ice cream carton. Ice cream, caution, ice cream is cold. This is on a baby stroller. Remove infant before folding. I'll give you a few more. This is on a washer. Do not put any person in this washer. I know, Les, you probably wanted to do that to one of your sisters, didn't you, when they're giving you a bad time. This is on a bottle of dog shampoo. Warning, do not feed content to fish. What? Yeah, it's on a bottle of dog shampoo. The warning was, don't feed content to fish. On a hairdryer, warning, do not use while sleeping. These are true, I'm telling you. I like this. This is my wife. I joke, but I'm a little bit serious. On a cardboard windshield to keep the sun off the dashboard. Warning, do not drive with this product in place. Okay, I'll just give you one more. Okay, on a microwave oven. Warning, do not use for drying pets. Wow. Wow. Okay, I'll give you one more. All right. On a Halloween Superman costume, warning, this garment does not enable you to fly. Do you ever do that when you're little, put a towel around your neck, get up on the, I did, and I was like, I can, whop. I like Ali when Muhammad Ali was flying an airplane, and the stewardess came over and said, excuse me, could you buckle your seatbelt? And Muhammad Ali looked up and said, Superman doesn't need to buckle his seatbelt. And she said, Superman doesn't need a plane either. So buckle your seatbelt. All right, I'm going to get right into the Word of God. Buckle your seatbelt. The Bible tells us, I want to read in the Amplified, chapter 14 and verse 16. It says, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him nor recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Verse 26. But the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you, guide you in all things. And he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything that I've told you. Now, my subject tonight is Father, Son, and what's his name? Now, it's a cute title, but really, when you think about in a lot of the circles that I minister in and some of you background that you come from, depending on your viewpoint, you might have a background that has influenced you concerning the Holy Spirit in a lot of different ways. And I think some of you that have a Pentecostal background, the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, that's scary. No, if you don't come from a church background, I remember I went to church, I was just a baby Christian. You got the Holy Ghost. I was like, what? The Holy Ghost. I mean, sometimes we use terminology as Christians that totally turned us off before we were saved. But now we've got in the vocabulary and we say things, you know, we go, I remember we'd go witness on the Pacific Avenue and people go, this one guy, I love him. His name was Peter. He was more interested in winning an argument than winning anyone to Jesus. We had the 5-minute rule with Peter. You couldn't be in a room with him for 5 minutes without wanting to backslide and beat him up. And I'm sorry, but Peter, he was like, you've been washed in the blood? I'm saying, Peter, they don't have any background. He'd be out on the, but you've been washed in the blood. People, I've done some crazy things, but I haven't been washed in anybody's blood. And when it comes to talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'm not being disrespectful, it can be scary to people, holy phantom, holy spook. The word in the Greek is pneuma. So George will check everything I share tonight with you, and he'll break it down for me. He always does. And so I'm a little intimidated with George on the front row. One day, Jesus sat down with his disciples and said, I'm going away. Now, you, for a moment, put yourself in their position. This was the most devastating news they'd ever heard. No more wisdom, no more healing, no more demons fleeing. I mean, this focus of what they called life is going away. Jesus said, I am going back to the Father. And if you understand what I'm really saying, because I'm going to the Father. Now stop there. I think, where's the Father? Jesus told us where the Father is. He said, pray this way, our Father who is in heaven. So the Father isn't here in the sense of a conscious presence. God is in heaven in another dimension. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. He made it very plain. I'm leaving you. He said, it's better if I go away. So if I go away, I'll send another comforter. The word another in the Greek means another of the same nature. The Father sends his Son. The Son is of the same nature as the Father. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. even though he isn't the Father, he is the Son, he is of the same nature. So the Spirit is not the Son is not the Spirit, but they have the same nature. Jesus said, I'm leaving, I'm going away, I'm going to send another, and because he's coming, it will be better for you. Better? Because he's going to be with you forever. Jesus wasn't with them forever. He would go in the night to pray. How many know Peter, the disciple, they go looking for him. He had to get up, try to find him. But he says, this one that is exactly like me, one, but in the Spirit. Therefore he shall be with each of you. There will never be a time when you'll have to go looking for him. He is with you always, limitlessly. That means you can have a 24-hour, second-by-second, intimate relationship with him. He's called the Paraclete. We translate that many ways, but it doesn't translate easily. It's translated the comforter, but it's more than comforter. We think of a comforter as a pat on the back. Counselor would be a better word, but that's not even enough. A paraclete is someone in the ancient world. If you had to go to court and you could not afford a lawyer, your paraclete, the one called alongside, would go to court with you, and you didn't understand what was happening, he would say to you, this is that person's job, and this is how you should answer. I got a ticket about a year and a half ago, and I was coming back there on Highway 4, coming back to Stockton, and the policeman walked up, and he started talking to me. I gave him my license, and he said, Dottie, you were speeding. And I said, yeah, yes, I was. I didn't know it was a 55. I thought it was 65 coming back on 4, and I was speeding. And he said, now, are you Donnie Moore, the motivational speaker? I said, yes, I am. If you need to be motivated, I will motivate you right now. And I could tell he felt bad because he already wrote the ticket. As he handed me the ticket, he said, listen, he said, 20 years ago, I heard you at Stagg High School. He said, you greatly influenced my life. So I saw him walking back to the car, and I thought, you know what? This guy is moved. He probably tore the ticket up. And I didn't get the ticket for a month. And then 2 months, I told my wife, I said, you know, favor of God. I said, I know that guy tore it up. He was moved. I actually saw tears in his eyes. I had tears in mine. After about 7 months, when I got the letter saying how much money I owe. So I went downtown. I don't know why when you go downtown for one of these deals, it's an all-day affair. Man, this lady behind the glass, she was so mean. So I started pleading my case. And then she looked at me, she pulled up the ticket and said, do you live at... And she had the wrong address. I said, the policeman, he sent it to the wrong place. You guys couldn't get my address right now. I owe you $900 in how many months? She said, well, you have valid, but, you know, it says at the bottom of the ticket, you know, that you're supposed to report within like a month. And I went, like, I'm going to read the bottom. I was so frustrated. And then she just like, next. I said, next. What do you mean next? She goes, you can come tomorrow at 7 in the morning and present your case to the judge. I said, all right. Lawyer Donnie will be here tomorrow. I'm gonna take care of business. I'm going to come. The spirit of Perry Mason had come on me. I was ready. I was fired up. I had my case. So I came the next day early. And so I'm waiting outside, just hanging out. And this lady from the jury room notices I'm standing there, and she knew me. She goes, hey, Donnie. I said, hey. She goes, come here. She goes, what are you doing here? You got jury duty? I said, no. I said, I'm going to go in right now and defend my case. I had this ticket. It went this long. She goes, wait. She goes, let me tell you. This is what you do. The judge, it's a woman judge. This is her name. This is the way you address her when she comes in and you have an opportunity to talk. This is the way you speak to her. And by the way, there's a little doorway there. That is where the bailiff comes in. Don't stand there. Don't stand there. Don't block that. And then set in the second row on that side when she comes in so she can see. This lady's telling me everything to do. I didn't know. I've never tried a case before. This is my first time. I want to look professional. So they call you in, and so you sit there, and one by one, the judge reads off, you know, Ed Brown, and then Ed Brown stands up, and he comes and stands, and then this lady judge is looking out and going, go ahead, share, and then, like, the worst excuses. I mean, I'm thinking, these are not good excuses at all. And then they would, like, plead to the judge, and she would just look at him and go, no, $450. Cack. Next. I'm thinking, this lady is mean. I was really intimidated. I was like shuffling my papers. I'm just thinking, okay, be calm, be calm. What would Perry do? So I'm rethinking everything, what I'm going to say to her. And then she calls out another guy. Guy walks up there with an attitude. Attitude. I'm saying, he's not going to do well. He's not going to do well. It's like, what's up? She goes, what's up? I tell you what's up. You're going to jail. Kang! You know, I'm saying, this is the judge. Somebody show the judge some respect here. Everybody's going to jail in here. I want to defend everybody. You guys don't know how to act. The lady out there in the jury room told me. And then she goes, Donald Moore? And I stood up and I said, I like to be called Donnie. Oh, gosh. Perry would have never did that. Never. So I just looked up at her, and she looked at me and she goes, okay, Donnie. And then she started saying something, and I was so nervous, and I was like getting everything down, you know, in my heart, and she rattled off something, and then she said, do you have anything to say? I said, yes, ma'am. I was coming back on 5. I said, did I tell you I do school assemblies and help kids get out of gangs? I said, did I let you know that we have camps and we do a lot to help young people? I have a real heart for young people. And this officer that pulled me over, he talked about how I really affected his life when he was in high school. And I just wanted you to know that they sent it to the wrong address. And I'm going on and on. And finally, she just interrupts me. She goes, Donnie, did you hear what I said? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I was preparing my case. Just like that, everybody started cracking up. All the criminals were laughing. Everybody in there was laughing. It was there that day. The judge started laughing. She goes, I told you, you can go to traffic school and the fine is taken care of. Said, I'll dedicate the next assembly to you, judge. And I'm, anyway. But everything that lady told me, I didn't block the way for the bailiff. I was like, it's your spot, Mr. Bailiff, right here. Anybody gets in your way, get out of the bailiff's way. This is his area. You know, I think about this courtroom, the counselor, the one who's exactly like me, who has the same nature as me, your paraclete. He will come and walk you through life. He'll give you wisdom, advice. He will be everything you need to handle every situation you'll ever face. He will teach you. Jesus sat with the disciples and he taught them on many occasions. But he says, now this one that's better, he will individually. He is going to be the one that's just like me. And he's going to teach you. In fact, there are some things I can't even teach you right now. But when he comes, he is going to teach you everything. And then he says this. He said he will be your guide. The word in the Greek for guide is unknown territory. You go to Africa on a safari. You have a guide. He knows where he's going. You don't. He'll guide you through a jungle, up hills. He'll lead you down a mountain. He knows where he's going. He will guide you to unknown territory. All through the Gospels, Jesus heals. Jesus taught. Jesus directed everything. But he said, I'm going to go away. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended. King of the universe. Now, in Acts chapter 2, Jesus sits down and he says to the Holy Spirit, it's your turn. And you look at Acts chapter 2 on, if there's any healings, miracles, wisdom, knowledge, the Holy Spirit takes the place of Jesus in the earth. Hear me. Apart from the Holy Spirit, there is no conscious presence of God in the earth today. Think about this. The first business meeting in Acts 15, it starts out by saying, it seems good to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the chairman of the board. The first business meeting of the church. You say, Donnie, come on, you're going a little far. No, that was a church. The Holy Spirit was so real to them, without trying to be cute or trying to be religious, they included the Holy Spirit in every aspect of life. The uniqueness of the gospel is not that Jesus died, not just that. It's not that he rose, not just that. Not just that he ascended and he rules the universe, but the gospel doesn't come to its fullness till it says the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit is not the PS. The Holy Spirit is the gospel. Not just that Jesus died. Not just that he was buried. Not just that he ascended. You ask people, what's the gospel? Well, Jesus, he died for our sins. No, Jesus not just died for our sins. Well, it's true. But that's not the whole gospel. The gospel is he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand. And he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. I'm not going to break this down and go into great detail, but you can look at it later. Write it down. Romans 8:27, he has a mind. 1 Corinthians 12:11, he has a will. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, he has emotion. A presence, an atmosphere, doesn't have a will, a mind, or emotion. But the Holy Spirit is much more than a presence. You see, an aroma is not really the food. The stink is not the skunk. The bark is not the dog. And the quack is not the duck. His presence is evidence of his person. Few people know this. That's why they never discuss their problems with him. Most people believe he's a silent cloud or wind receiving assignments, going to different buildings. Jesus recognized him as a mentor. He shall teach you all things, John 14:26. He's not merely a fog. He's not merely a wind. He's not merely fire. He's not merely rain. He's not merely a white dove at a baptismal service. If he were wind, he couldn't mentor men. If he were a white bird, he couldn't teach you all the sayings of Jesus. If he were merely fire, he couldn't impart counsel. The Holy Spirit simply uses variety of himself to reveal his workings, his nature, and his qualifications about who he really is. So the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he has ears. Jesus said what he hears, he speaks. Do you think anyone with ears and a mouth and speaks doesn't have a face? He has a heart that can be grieved. The word in the Greek is lupe. It means to feel pain. Mind and body. The Holy Spirit feels pain in his mind and body. Wind doesn't feel pain. A person, yes. Resist not the Holy Spirit. You cannot resist the wind. But you can resist a person. You can actually oppose the Spirit. Isaiah 63 says they vexed his spirit. Vex means to torment, trouble, afflict, wound, tear down, wear down. You can't wear the wind down. The wind has no feelings. You can't afflict symbols. No, but the Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible says the Holy Spirit can be quieted. Zechariah 6:8. Can you quiet the wind? Can you quiet a dove? Zechariah 6:8. They quieted my spirit. He's so gentle, polite. You can quiet him. You can grieve him. Why? Because he's a person. The Holy Spirit is not an attitude, atmosphere. He is a person. How can the Holy Spirit be water? He can enter your life like water, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 44, 3 and 4. The Holy Spirit can move suddenly and quickly in your life like wind. Acts 2, 2. The Holy Spirit can enter your life like fire, purifying you. Acts chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. The Holy Spirit will come to you the way that you need him the most. He can come as a gentle nurturer, like a mother nursing. When the prodigal son fell into his sin, ended up in a pig pen. I taught on this when we were together last time on a Sunday night about the father heart of God. When the son was returning, the Bible says the father came and fell on him. That word in Luke chapter 15, fell on him, is the same word used in the Greek in Acts chapter 11 when the Holy Spirit fell on them. This is what it means. To fall on his neck, to fall upon means to fling my arms around you and hug you until you feel my love. The Holy Spirit is so real that he falls on people and gives them a bear hug and communicates to them that he loves them. Have you ever been into a service where the power and the presence of God is there? Where you feel God's love? That is a holy embrace. If people just understood, we're not a club. We're not like any other gathering of human beings on the face of this planet. The Holy Spirit separates us from every other religion on the face of the earth. They have their philosophy. They have their doctrines. They have their theology. But we have God himself. See, without the Holy Spirit, the Father is far off in heaven somewhere. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus is buried back somewhere in history. Without the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that's in me that lets me know that I'm a child of God. It's the Holy Spirit in me, in you, that says God is real. My spirit leaped when I say God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Spirit connects me to the Father. He tells me Jesus is alive. I'm his child. As Tom comes, I'm going to begin to wrap this up, but I don't need to go how long. I'm going to come back and I'm going to teach. I don't have time, but I was working on something. The Holy Spirit speaks in me. The Holy Spirit speaks through me. If the Holy Spirit speaks in me, he speaks for me. He speaks through me. So many people today have become so embarrassed by the Holy Spirit because he didn't fit into a lot of religious rules of today. We move away because he does things that are not in the church bulletin. He spills over and does things that we don't plan. We're afraid of the supernatural. Safer to talk about God, but don't let him loose among us. I'm not talking about this church. Thank God for leadership and thank God for an openness to whatever God wants. But I was thinking about this. I wrote this night before last. A spirit-led church can never be fully explained because nobody knows in the whole church really what's going to happen from moment to moment. Because when you put God in charge, I asked this question to a church recently that have totally stopped allowing the gifts to be in operation. I said, if the Holy Spirit exited your church or your youth group, how many weeks before anybody would notice? And so often in Pentecostal circles, we celebrate the Holy Spirit so we can get gifts, so we can minister. I got the baptism, I speak in tongues, now I'm ready to minister. It's an entryway, they say, to the supernatural. How offensive. How can Father, Son, Holy Spirit be separated, be one? I don't think any human being will fully understand, as long as we're on earth, the oneness, yet the separation of the Trinity. Whenever you see the oneness, it's never connected to personalities. It's always connected to work. See, we always connect to the way God works. The oneness is connected to the work, not the persons. Anytime you see God working, he's always working as one God. One God. So 1 Corinthians, there you have the jobs of the Godhead. The Father is in charge of operation. Jesus is the administrator. The Holy Spirit is the manifester. I'll say it again. God is the source. He's in charge of operations. Jesus is the administrator. I'm just trying to break it down so we can understand it in our finite, limited mind. But the Holy Spirit is the manifester. The word manifest means to make clear, plain, to reveal, to make evident, to prove. Huh? So most of the time, not always, but when you see Father, you see of love of God, power of God, grace of God, faith of God. Now when you see Jesus, most of the time, it's usually the word through. We praise through Jesus the Son. We go to the Father God. We go through Jesus to Father through a lot of times. But I noticed in Scripture, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, when it comes to him, we see the word in. Walk in the Spirit. Father seeks them that worship in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The word in means one with. This life is not meat, drink, and righteousness, joy, and the Holy Spirit. It's in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit helps you to look up. You never say to the Holy Spirit, give me, but Holy Spirit, help me. What is a mystery? A mystery is a hidden revelation. He speaks in me. He speaks for me. He speaks through me. You hear people talk about they are seeing visions of Jesus and Jesus appearing. Jesus is in heaven. He's not coming back until God says he's returning. I believe people are seeing the Holy Spirit. If you've seen me, you've seen, that's just my own theology. I'm not trying to put that on anybody. I'm just telling you it's my opinion. There's no way of proving it. But I believe the visitations, when he's manifesting himself in a vision, showing himself, the Holy Spirit. There is no conscious presence of God in the earth apart from the Holy Spirit. So my Baptist brethren, Father, Son, we talk about, and the Word of God, but we're a little afraid of that Holy Spirit part. My Pentecostal friends, of which I'm one, we equate the Holy Spirit to speaking in tongues. Or he's a dove, or he's fire, a symbol. He's a person. He's a person. Brother, would you bring that chair right there you're sitting on? Just, can you bring that to me real quick? Lester, you're strong. I want you to take that chair and come here for a minute and stand next to me. Would you just bring that right over here? Lester, come over and stand behind this chair. Would you do that for me? Thank you, brother. I want you to pick that chair up, Lester. Just pick it up right here and just hold it just like that. Would you do that for me? Lester's young and Lester's strong. And Lester, he can hold this chair. I don't know. He might be able to hold it for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes. But sooner or later, his arms are going to get tired. But all he has to do is say, Uncle Donnie, help. And I just come over here. Why don't you ever invite him to help you? Why do you live life fighting alone? When is the last time you've talked to him? Listen to me. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not trying to put the Holy Spirit 208. I went through the most difficult time of my life, and God said, I'm going to give you a revelation of my unconditional love. And he said, you're going to preach on that until I tell you what you're going to preach on next. And the next thing I'm going to give you is a revelation of the person of the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, I've met the Holy Spirit. He said, no, you need to get reacquainted with him. And so I'll find myself going to bed at night and I'll hear this voice. And I'm not trying to be weird and get into visions and try to out signs and wonders you. Golly, we've had that enough in the body of Christ right now. It's a contest to who can come up with the greatest manifestation. I was in a meeting recently and one guy said he has nicknames for his angels. The next guy, he had a Bible full of feathers, angel feathers, and they were little bitty feathers. I thought, man, those angels must be midgets or little people. And anyway, they just went from one person to another and just talking about it. I'm not against manifestations, just hear me. But everyone was trying to out-manifest one another. And it got to me, and I didn't have anything that's happened dramatic. So I just made something up. I said, a guy came to my meeting last week. He didn't have a head. I prayed for him, and God gave him a head. And everybody just looked at me, and they go, what? And these guys are all young guys. I just looked at them. I said, listen. I said, God calls us. He saves us to go to purpose, to go to destiny. And along the way, he gives us experiences. Well, what you guys have done, you've made the experience the purpose. So we camp at experience. Thank God for the experiences. But you know what I told someone recently that was going on about all these things? I said, do you have a diary where God shares things with you that you tell nobody? Do you have a secret place where God shows you things and you have encounters with him that you don't share with anybody? Or was everything shared? You know, in 2008, when I got sick, some of you know my story, I went into that and God spoke to me. He said, when you come out of this, you'll have twice the anointing, your marriage will be twice as strong. And for 8 months, I never heard God again. 8 months. I walked my whole life as a Christian hearing God. And I went 8 months where I never heard the voice of God once. I know what it's like to stand out in the weight room, looking at my house and my family and saying, God, what's wrong? But they don't invite me to tell those stories. There's a couple encounters I have I'll never tell anybody. It's just too deep. And people wouldn't understand. And besides, I'm not that impressive anyway. Really. But he is. If you can't do it any other way, set out a chair. You know, when I used to hear about Young Yi Cho putting that chair on his platform, I kind of chuckled where he said it was the chair for the Holy Spirit. But some of us maybe this week will set a chair down and just say, Holy Spirit, I need to talk with you about some things. I invite you. You see, he can be so grieved. We live in this. I got in the elevator, Pastor, a couple weeks ago at the Oakland Coliseum, and there were 8 reporters, and every single one of them were like this, on their, all like this, heads down. I'm the only one standing there. And our public relation guy, his name is Bob Rose. I said, hey, Bob, I'm working on a new message called Look Up. And every one of those reporters just looked up, and they all started laughing. Remember when we were kids, some of you are old enough, remember Ed Sullivan? Some of you, well, anyway, the guy would come out, and they had those sticks. He would have those sticks, you know, just sticks, about 10 of them. And he would take out a plate, and he'd put the plate on the first stick and spin it. And then the second one, and the third one, the fourth one, and the fifth. And then what happened, this guy, he would have like 12, and he'd get up to 15 plates spinning on sticks. All at the same time. And you're watching this guy now. He's got a lot of plates going. And pretty soon, this plate starts wobbling. He runs over and he gets this one spinning. And then this one. And now this guy, he's like this. Just watching plates. And that's how most of us live our lives as Christian. Prayer. Bible study. Witness. More prayer. Tithe. Give. Teach the Bible study, prayer meeting. My God, Jesus saw me before I got saved. My life was a mess. Now I'm saved. Man, we got a lot of crazy Christians. And plates are dropping. And God's saying, just like tonight, slow down. Take a deep breath. Take a drive in a car out to a beach or up in our wonderful rolling hills. Find somewhere. Put on a worship CD. Lock your doors. Turn out the lights. And invite the Holy Spirit. Would you stand, please? And would you we got 10 minutes before you have to go get your kids. 10 minutes. I'm going to ask every single one of you that are physically able to just get out wherever you're at and just come down here. All of you, just everybody, come on down here. Just quickly. I feel like the Holy Spirit has just directed me tonight to do something a little different. Come on, we don't have to line up. We don't have to do it. Just come on. Just come on. Just come on. Just come on. Just come on.